Morning, everybody. Welcome back. It's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us this morning. Coming up, a review of Ruined at the Everyman Theater in Baltimore by our theater critic, J. Wynn Russick. But before we get Judy's take on this powerful play, a conversation with the woman who wrote it. Lynn Nottage won the Pulitzer Prize for Ruined in 2009. It also won a New York Drama Critics Circle Award. Ruin tells the story of a remarkable group of women in the bar and brothel that they run in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and how they cope with unthinkable sexual abuse and torture from both sides of warring factions in that troubled country. Lynn Nottage is a MacArthur Genius Grant recipient, and her plays like By the Way, Meet Vera Stark, Intimate Apparel, and Fabulation have won numerous awards and are performed regularly around the world. Lynn Nottage joins me on the line from her home in New York. Ms. Nottage, thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So we are in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Set the scene for us for this play, Ruined.
Well, the play begins in 2004 in the northeast section of the Democratic Republic of Congo, where there's been a protracted war that's been happening, a war that began in 1997. We have two young women who have been mysteriously brought to a brothel, and we discover at some point that these women have been ruined, which means, as we learn in the course of the play, that they have been raped by a number of soldiers, so much so that their families have rejected them. And the only refuge that they can find is in this brothel, which is owned by a morally ambiguous woman named Mama Nadi.
So women have long been caught in the crossfire of this ongoing conflict. There's been an estimate of as many as 6 million deaths, but rape and torture are also a constant threat to women in Congo. You traveled there. You talked to some people who had survived some of these horrifying experiences. Who did you talk to, and what did they tell you?
We traveled to the border of Congo in 2004, and we interviewed a number of women who were fleeing from the armed conflict, mostly in the northern part of the country. And what we found, regardless of who we spoke to, because we interviewed probably about 20 women, and these are women who sort of ranged in age from, I'd say, 18 to 60. All of the women had been raped. All of the women had been tortured. All the women had been separated from their families. And what we discovered very quickly is that rape was being used as a tool of war. It was being used to intimidate the women. It was being used to intimidate their husbands and their sons. And we found that the narrative was very similar throughout all of our interviews. And it became really the foundation for the play that I wrote, which is Ruined.
And what a difficult challenge that is to take those testimonies from those people and incorporate it into a script for this play. How did you approach that task?
The play originated out of my desire to do a modern adaptation of Mother Courage, but set in the Congo. And so when I began interviewing the women, I really had this in mind.
And Mother Courage, we should say, Mother Courage is a play by Bertolt Brecht, right? So that was a big influence.
Yes, it's a play written by Bertolt Brecht about the Hundred Years' War in Europe. Mm-hmm. And I had this notion of setting it in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And as I was interviewing all of the women, I asked them the same question. And that question was, how would you define the words Mother Courage? And they always took those two words into their mouths and sort of moved them around in a way that I found incredibly moving. And then they always sort of exhaled and said, yes, Mother Courage. And there was something very reassuring in the way that they said those words. And it's that reassurance that I held on to, not the horror, but the reassurance that there was something that was going to allow these women to transcend their circumstances.
You have said about this play that this is not history. This is a contemporary play. These atrocities continue to take place in Congo and other places around the world. Do you have a sense that anything has changed demonstrably in the Democratic Republic of Congo since you were last there?
It's unfortunate that not much has changed. I think that the fighting has receded, but unfortunately women are still being raped in record numbers. I was in the DRC maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and I visited Panzi Hospital, which is run by Dr. Mukwege. And Mukwege has pioneered a surgery to repair women who have had fistulas as a result of being raped. And he said that he continues to see the same number of women raped on a daily basis that he did during the height of the conflict, which means that rape has really become part of the culture and remains endemic in that region.
The playwright Lynn Nottage, her play Ruined, is currently at the Everyman Theater on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Ms. Nottage, I understand that there was a production of Ruined in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Is that correct?
That is correct. There was a production a number of years ago in Kinshasa.
And what was the reaction of people there?
I think the thing that I found most fascinating was that many of the young women who were in the cast were not aware of what was happening on the other side of their country. Because remember, Kinshasa is in the West, and a lot of what's discussed in the play takes place on the East, that you could have this enormous divide between what was happening to young women in the East and how young women in the West lived their lives. So I think for a lot of people who saw the play in Kinshasa, it was a revelation.
You've also been teaching playwriting at Yale for a number of years, and now you're at Columbia University in New York. Is this a trend to take politically sensitive and challenging issues and translate them and disseminate information about them through theater? I noticed that, for example, here in Maryland, a playwright named Naomi Izuka has a play called Good Kids, which is part of a consortium of college productions that are commissioning new plays. It's also about a rape case based on the Steubenville, Ohio rape case, where those football players were convicted of rape. Is this something that you're seeing as a trend throughout the playwriting world?
Well, I don't know that it's so much of a trend, but I would say that theater has always been at the vanguard of change. I think that as theater artists, we're in a really unique position to have a certain kind of conversation with the audience. I think that because of where we sit in sort of the cultural hierarchy, that we have the opportunity to have a more intense dialogue with audiences than, say, folks do in film and television, which is driven by ratings, which is driven by advertising. By and large, most of us exist in a not-for-profit world. So if we say things that are make the government uncomfortable or make our audience uncomfortable, it really isn't going to be censored. So I think because we aren't as censored, I think we have the freedom, more freedom to sort of reflect the world back.
Sure. I should mention that this play by Naomi Izuka is going to be at the University of Maryland College Park. It opens on Friday and runs until the 7th of March. It's called Good Kids. One of the things, Ms. Nottage, that was so wonderful to see in the midst of a very disturbing and powerful story, Dawn Ursula leads a terrific cast at the Everyman Theater. It's a large cast. There's nearly 20 folks, and only one of them is white. All of the other actors are African-American. You wrote a piece in the New York Times about 8 months ago talking about the paucity of women and people of color and their representation on Broadway. Is that something that you see changing anytime soon? And if so, how could that kind of change be affected?
I can answer that in two ways. I hope that it changes sometime in the near future. Is it changing? I certainly didn't see that change on Broadway this season. I think that there was very much an absence of people of color in straight plays, with the exception of Disgraced by Ayad Akhtar. I think that Broadway theater does remain one of the last bastions of segregation. It's very difficult for women and people of color to get their voices up there. I think part of it's economics. I think part of it's a resistance to hearing voices in the mainstream that don't necessarily jibe.
You suggested in your piece in the Times that perhaps with the Tonys, for example, that there should be a separate category for off-Broadway productions. Do you think there's much traction to that idea?
I, you know, I don't think there's much traction to that idea, and I was putting it out there to be provocative. What I was saying is that in order for our voices to be included, that we have to open it up because Broadway is not making that space for us.
You mentioned your work both in the theater world and the film world and the differences of those two. I know that your terrific play that Everyman Theater staged last year, by the way, Meet Vera Stark, incorporates both film and live theater in the same production. As I mentioned, you've been teaching theater and playwriting for a while. It seems that the young generation of playwrights, there's a whole generation that is, in a way, kind of platform agnostic, that they're not... They don't really care where they're writing or what elements they're using. Is this another thing that you're seeing around the country as you follow the theater scene? Are people opening up really what the definition of theater and a theater experience is?
I think very, very slowly theater is beginning to look at different ways to tell stories. I, for one, am very interested in telling stories across multiple platforms because I think that that's the way in which we're receiving information. We're a culture that has an incredibly short attention span. I think increasingly it's becoming difficult for young audiences to sit in a dark space for 2 hours. But I think by the same token, they're interested in storytelling. So their restlessness isn't that they don't want to see what's on stage. Their restlessness is that they're used to getting information in different ways. And I think that as artists, our responsibility is to find ways to captivate our audience and find ways to keep our audiences invested in new storytelling. So I do think that increasingly playwrights and filmmakers are turning to transmedia to capture those new audiences.
And one of the transmedia projects you're working on now takes place in just not too far from here in Baltimore, up in Reading, Pennsylvania. It's a project called This is Reading. Tell us how you're approaching that and what that's going to end up being.
This is Reading is going to be a multimedia installation, which is telling the story of Reading, Pennsylvania, which was at some point an industrial powerhouse and then in the 1980s began to decline and has really lost its narrative. And so the piece that I want to create is really about trying to find the narrative of a city without a narrative and bring as many people into that space to tell their own stories and to share their stories and to create a space in which some healing can happen. Some sharing can happen, and hopefully it will be something unlike you've ever experienced. Hopefully it's a model for what can happen in other cities to bring people from disparate communities together.
And when do you expect that that installation will be installed?
Our aim is to have it done either in the spring or summer of 2016. It's looking more like it's going to probably be summer 2016.
Mm-hmm. Well, we look forward to that for sure. Well, Lynn Nottage, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
You too. Thank you.
The Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright and screenwriter Lynn Nottage, who has joined us this morning from her home in New York.